Oh, demigods, fulfilling one's own interests is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies for the sake of one's self-interest. One has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the purport. A snake and a mouse were once caught in a basket. Now, since the mouse is food for the snake, this was a good opportunity for the snake. However, since both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it wise to make a truce with the mouse and asked the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them could get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. This is called the logic of the snake and the mouse. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvese Sunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So I'd just like to first of all ask everyone to pray for a couple of seconds at least so I can say something useful, and just like to get the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here. I think it was Gaur Gopal Prabhu initially wanted to give class, but all the devotees didn't want him to give class. They said they'd rather me give class, so that's why I'm here, and he had to go. Imagine a very, very good cloth, like silk, white, very, very beautiful. Maybe ladies could think of a white wedding dress, even though that's not so, that's a Western thing, but a white wedding dress or something very beautiful. And maybe the Prabhus can think of a nice white dhoti, perfect, with nice embroidery. And now just imagine that dipped in a mechanic's oil, also then dragged through a butcher's and then thrown in an animal farm and then put down in the ground for years and years and years and years. Now, trying to clean this after you see this, no matter how good the persil is, Daz or whatever adverts they can do, they were not able to clean this. The only way you can clean this dhoti or this dress would be a miracle. This is the condition of the spiritual soul that's come into the material world. The material world has covered the spiritual soul, and there's only one miracle, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that has come to cleanse us so we can actually then become pure, pure again. There is no other way, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no other way, no other way, no other way than the process he has given of chanting this holy name. Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But how much can we chant Hare Krishna? We have 24 hours in the day. Maybe we can do 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, on a special day, 4 or 5 hours. So A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he knew exactly what he's dealing with. He knew exactly what is needed. So what he does, he comes to the Western world. He knows the mentality of the Westerners. And what he does is give a process that allows you to chant Hare Krishna and also do some activity. He gave us all of this wonderful spiritual activity so that we can then become pure and we can actually take up this holy name. Because if we just take up this holy name and don't do anything else, we'll then also fall into Maya. But he knows what is best for us. And he has given us such service that we can utilize the very things that we are actually covered by. So the soul is covered by the three modes: goodness, passion and ignorance, in these different combinations. There's 8,400,000 species. So much different activity. Krishna goes through the different activities, different charities, different food that one may actually take in these different modes. So the situation we're in is we're covered by this very thing, and it is now what here is explained is this snake and mouse philosophy. So I'm sure you all understood the purport, but just to repeat, it's a basket with a snake in there and a mouse. If the snake just eats the mouse, it'll be trapped in there and maybe killed after anyway. So it has a truce with the mouse and lets the mouse nibble its way out. And then the mouse escapes, snake eats the mouse and then escapes. So Srila Prabhupada is very, very intelligent that he has given us a process for the very, very things that we are trying to get rid of in this material world. Is the very thing that we can actually now utilize to go back to the spiritual world. Here in the last verse, it was talking about, this is the verse, as long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and the asuras who are now being favored by time. So the very things that are prominent now in this day and age, which are being favored by time, we can now use to utilize and make a truce so that we will then ultimately get our ends, which is to go back to the spiritual world, make the whole material world spiritual, make devotees from this very thing that's favored right now. It's like the Mayavad philosophy is to reject. Ultimately just reject something. For example, the house. A house gives so much trouble. You have to pay the utility bills. You have to pay the tax. So Mayavad philosophy is best just get rid of the house. Don't live in a house. This is not the philosophy of Vaishnava philosophy. Is we actually utilize this. We can utilize everything for Krishna. One example Prabhupada gives in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 4, is in his purport, he explains that the very milk product that has given you an upset stomach, you use again the same milk product again to then cure, a different milk product, but the same milk to then cure your actual symptom. So maybe lots of laddus or something like that. And maybe it then means some yogurt to then cure this very same disease. So Mayavad philosophy is to just reject everything. As we know, there's a famous picture where, you know, this famous pastime where it's explained to Prabhupada that some Mayavadi had a picture or something like this when the money was shown to him. And he was like, nope, stay away. And Prabhupada says, you can take a picture of me grabbing all of the money. He can take this. So, utility is the principle. And in a situation we're in right now, there are definitely things that we have to accept, which are actually not so favorable. We are all vegetarians, eating prasadam, and we have certain crop that is growing in Bhaktivedanta Mana, and in other ISKCON temples there's crop, and it's very nice that we're trying to increase our amount of vegetarian growth, all the vegetables, but it's a small amount. If you just maybe just relied on that, you probably wouldn't get the nutrients and you wouldn't get the devotees so fired up if you kept cooking the same thing. So we're having to use a lot of the stores from Asda, Tesco. Oh, I shouldn't probably name them. So we use these stores, these supermarkets. I've been told no controversial statements. So I'm being very careful. So we use these stores, and these same stores, when you give them money, their money don't just go then to the vegetarian department. It also goes to maybe the meat department as well. So it's not very good. These same stores that are selling these vegetables, they may be selling also genetically modified food. I know organic food costs a lot more. It's a bit silly actually, but the genetically modified food, and I looked into I studied genetics, so when I looked into genetic modified food, it doesn't seem actually as if it's a bad thing, and it may not be that bad, but it could be when you mess around with the actual genes. So for example, make the tomatoes more red, you may also alter another gene or another allele, making some protein, some unknown protein. And they're saying in reports in US and Europe that there's a lot of people becoming super sensitive to allergens because of genetically modified food. So that's just one thing, but who knows, the more they toy around, the more they mess around with genetically modified food, maybe more problems will be there. But the point is, we need this. For us to live in Krishna consciousness, we need these vegetables, we need these stores for right now, so we will use them. And we will buy our and give them our money to take the vegetables so we can offer them to Krishna to sustain our lives, and so we can spread Krishna consciousness, feed thousands of people, and ultimately as we grow, we will also grow more vegetables and we will have less need then to go to these stores. I was thinking also about mobile phones. I don't know if we should maybe get rid of mobile phones. Definitely they're used so much. But just to understand that the very thing we're using, mobile phones, it actually creates so much stress. I mean, you're always connected. You can be interconnected at every time. It says actually youngsters get very stressed about this thing and they spend so much time on their phone, but the same phone is actually causing them peer group pressure, stress. How come you're not coming out? You know, we're trying to ring you. You know, they don't want to go out that late, but they have that pressure. Then there's radioactive problems with mobile phones, keeping them in your pockets. I don't know what the future generation could be. You know, you have when I sleep, I keep the alarm next to me, and maybe it fuzzles all my brain cells at night time. It's possible. Maybe that's why I find it difficult to wake up. So, I don't know. But mobile is a problem. But we need them. We need them. We get calls saying, come to this Namahata program, come to this Rath Yatra. Prabhu, I need some help. I need some mentorship. I'm going through some difficulty. Help me in my spiritual life. Come. And we can do so many things with mobiles. And I'll just give a couple more examples. I think we're getting the gist of what's being told here. Cars. So dangerous. I looked into the Department of Transport figures. I think it's around last year, 2,000 fatalities from car accidents. 2,000 people unnecessarily killed. And imagine all the grief and everything that brings to the family and so many things, and to also the living entity who didn't want to die. 2,000 and 200,000 casualties. Well, these are, yet we need cars. We have Bhaktisanta Maharaj, you know, taking a Rolls Royce to Radha Kund. So this is the situation where we are utilizing things that we don't actually we actually know are actually problematic, in a sense, an enemy to this world. And I'll just give one more example, if I may, is about Sankirtan. We go out on book distribution. Say if you go, for example, for 4 or 5 days a week, and you stop 40 people, and maybe out of those 20 people you speak for 5 minutes, that's 100 minutes every day. And then you don't necessarily speak just Krishna consciousness. As the, I can't remember which philosopher it was or which devotee it was, but it says, you explain to them how great they are. They say, oh, I'm into football. Oh, wow, I bet you're a brilliant footballer. What do you do? What else? And you talk about football for 2 minutes just to get them interested. And then you then tell them, okay, you're a very clever man. Now forget everything you know. Yeah. But we spend this time talking. Why do we need to talk about these things? It's because we have a higher purpose. Our purpose is to show them that we're friends. We're here to listen. We want to know about you. But actually, most of the times, we don't actually care what they're saying regarding what their interests are, where they're going, which nightclub they're into, what type of music they're into. So Sankirtan is also an example of where we are utilizing this very thing that we want to get rid of. We want to get rid of Prajalpa. We don't want a whole world with a vibration of Prajalpa, that it affects the ethos. When you speak Krishna consciousness, it has an effect, a spiritual effect. That's why in the temple room it has a certain vibration. Even if you come on your own and it's empty, there's a certain vibration because the ethos has been changed. Is everything becomes spiritual. And here we are then adding more material, Prajalpa, when we're doing Sankirtan. So, but this is because we have a goal in mind. So like that, with genetic modified foods, we have goal in mind. Mobiles, cars, Sankirtan. I'm sure there's many other things you can maybe just write them all down for yourself just to know that what are you actually utilizing that you don't actually want in society, but you're using them because it's a means to the ultimate end. So we can utilize nearly everything. If you're expert, you can utilize everything. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada could do that. He could do anything. And once in the perfect questions, perfect answers, they're talking to Prabhupada and talk about Lord Jesus Christ. And someone says, well, didn't Jesus eat meat? I mean, that's not even certain or anything that happened, but they still brought this point. Didn't Jesus eat meat? And Srila Prabhupada says, Jesus can eat the whole world, but you cannot. So, we are not here to imitate these devotees that can do anything and everything. I was just looking at a few things that we may use in Krishna consciousness. For example, I used to be into hip-hop, into rapping, and many devotees have also asked me to maybe make some tracks, make some music with this rapping, and maybe rap about Krishna. Yo, Krishna, you got to get to know, Ganga Devi is coming from his toe, you know, something, you know, and maybe do lots of things. But then I was looking at the analysis of hip-hop. If we look at hip-hop, in general, it is actually very violent. People feel very, it's very lusty, can be very lusty, very proud. You know, when I listen to hip-hop, I still generally feel like, yo, I want to beat someone up. You know, it's like, yeah, it's, you know, once the beats get going, maybe if devotees heard this, they wouldn't actually feel like that. But I noticed myself that it affects my lower nature. So then a question comes, is should one use, for example, hip-hop to do? I went to South Africa with my spiritual master, and he had some disciples and some Devaramita Maharaj disciples also. And they've got a band called Golden Age. And I went with them, and this was a, you know them? And they were brilliant. So they were utilizing all this hip hop, and we were going to universities, one university to another, and they got everyone dancing, everyone liked it, and in the end conclusion, it was chanting Hare Krishna, Jai Jagannath, and there was all, and, it was, and they got the crowd going, and people were favorable, and boom, 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 they were serving out prasadam, one by another, and everyone was attracted. The question comes, is it dangerous? Is it dangerous for you? Maybe it's dangerous, maybe not dangerous for others. So then the question also then comes is, how do you know whether you should be utilizing things? So I'll try to maybe cover that, or maybe you could give some suggestions. Another one is internet. Internet is brilliant. We can do so much for Krishna consciousness in the wonderful websites like ISKCON Desire Tree, Krishna.com, so many websites of different spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada's, all of his books are on the internet, all of the footage is on the internet, and it's excellent. But then there's risks. Risks in internet is you waste so much time, there's so much inaccurate information, there's so many distractions. Jai Advaita Maharaj calls them weapons of mass destruction. And there's a certain risk factor. But should we stop? No, we do need to use internet. But maybe there needs to be a bit more tact. Like, for example, I try not to use my laptop so much. I try to only use it when it's absolutely necessary. I use the ashram computer just for a little while. And that's best for myself. But someone else may be more involved with the internet, so they may need to use it more. But then if it is bringing problems, maybe there needs to be sacrifice of the very thing that one is attached to, or the very thing that one is progressing in Krishna consciousness. One still then needs to be honest, maybe open up with the devotees that it's a wonderful service, I'm getting so much done, I'm making so many devotees, but I think there's also problems, and they can then help you weigh it. It's not just black and white, well, it's for Krishna's pleasure, or, oh, it's Maya, let's not use it. This is where it comes. It takes something, it takes some sincerity. It takes some purity, and it takes blessings. What else is dangerous? There's Mayavad philosophy. Mayavad, one may read a lot of other literature from spirit. Sometimes they, because of the conditioned mind, they may seem more interesting than reading Prabhupada's books, just to read some different types of abstract spiritual writings. But maybe one may get distracted. There are cases in International Society of Krishna Consciousness where Prabhupada's sannyasis have also started reading this type of philosophy, Mayavad. And when they read this Mayavad philosophy, it was for the purpose of defeating the Mayavad. And ultimately, it started affecting them. And so this is dangerous. And like that, so we also become, I've noticed in Krishna consciousness, we become more, naturally, we become more critical of devotees because we're also learning more. We're learning more of what the standards are. We should be like this. When you enter the temple, you should pay obeisances like this. You should chant like this. Why is he talking like this? Does he know the first two? Why is he preaching like this? But the risk is that you also then have more risk of becoming more offensive. So these are all dangerous. So when you try to correct someone, there also may be more offenses also. So then it's a very, very interesting now. If it's dangerous, do we utilize it or do we not? So these are few ideas I thought of. First, we have to accept that Srila Prabhupada can do anything and everything. And one should never ever be critical of the Acharyas and the Vaishnavas of what they are doing. Maybe it is dangerous what they're doing, but maybe it's dangerous for you as a living entity. It's dangerous as you, for yourself and your current state. So what I notice sometimes is that devotees can sometimes be very judgmental of other types of preaching, saying, oh, this is so risky, or this is not so good. Or the other devotees may also be so critical of those devotees. These devotees, they're not utilizing the proper facilities. They're so backward. They're so sticking to the thing. They're not actually using their thought. Krishna said to engage your mind and intelligence. Yeah, it doesn't seem they're using their mind or the intelligence. They seem like a sheep. So there's sometimes both sides. So we should also learn to also be comfortable for what we are doing and also comfortable for what others are doing. And if we're playing a mentoring role where we're actually helping others, that's where we can actually give advice. But if you're not actually in the capacity of a leader or capacity of an advisor, then you don't need to unnecessarily make comments about one's preaching. Jai Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gaur Nitai Bhagwan ki. So we don't need to make a judgment, because if you make a judgment, you may get it wrong, right? So my point was, if you're not in that capacity, then it doesn't. If you're an editor, you need to edit. A mechanic needs to do mechanics. And if you're in the capacity of leading the society, then we can also maybe come up with different dynamic ways and criticize other groups and other preaching programs that are going on. But I think it takes a little bit of maturity to understand we may be on a certain level, other people may be on a different level. And sometimes it's also the case that one may do something that is dangerous, not exactly needed for Krishna consciousness, but maybe for that person, it actually has to go through that. If, for example, one is only into hip-hop, and the only way you can actually talk to this person is through music, and so maybe then he has to go through that and start making, for example, hip-hop tracks for Krishna consciousness. Maybe for him, that person doesn't need to be told to chant, because he just won't listen. So there are exceptions. So this is where I was thinking about what is needed. One point I think is needed is sincerity. If we're sincere, we will know whether we're using the thing for the right purpose, or whether we're just using this for our sense gratification. It takes some sincerity. Then it also takes some purity. The more pure we become, the more we're actually able to do. Purity is the force. And as we hear from Bhagavatam more and more, hear about Krishna consciousness from the Vaishnavas, then what actually happens is we actually have more clarity in our thought. And the more clarity we have in our thought, the more we actually can see the goal all the time. And when you can see the goal all the time, you won't take your eyes off the goal. And when you have your eyes on the goal, it doesn't matter what you may utilize. Your purpose is Krishna consciousness, and you will be able to use different aspects of this material creation for actual Krishna's pleasure. So it means keep refining. Like Gaur Gopal Prabhu gave a class, and he would very nicely explain that even if you're not listening properly in the class, by coming here, the message is going through more and more and more. So keep hearing, keep chanting, and the goal will become more and more clear. And as the goal becomes more and more clear, we're able to do more and more for Krishna, and more we will able to utilize this very material world for Krishna's pleasure. So everything can be used for Krishna. But for ourselves, sometimes we have to choose what is right for us. There is for example, if you have an aubergine and you make aubergine sabji, some bits of it need to be cut away. So there are parts of our nature. We can utilize our nature for Krishna consciousness. If you don't utilize your nature for Krishna consciousness, you may find that you're not actually doing much for then Krishna. But there are some parts of your nature that may just need to be thrown in the bin, the same way we throw parts of the aubergine that we don't need. And sometimes we have to associate also with non-devotees. And that can be very good for Krishna consciousness. If we're actually making them Krishna conscious, we feel more inspired. Of course, it's inspiring talking to devotees, but it's very inspiring to preach. But if they are actually affecting you and affecting your consciousness, then you need to again start questioning whether this is a healthy relationship. Maybe they are getting some Krishna conscious benefit, but maybe also you are being dragged down. So this is what is happening. When I was at in the office, I'd have a lot of my friends sometimes say, yeah, you know, come out to the pub with us. And then I was like, no, I don't really want to come. You know, they go, no, you can come and you can discuss your Krishna consciousness with us. And sometimes it sounded convincing because I like talking about Krishna consciousness and they come. So I did a couple of times, I did go with them. And ultimately it was my consciousness going down. I don't know if they benefited anyway. So this association with the karmis, it takes a lot of purity and force, purity, and it also takes a lot of intelligence of how to do this. There's a story that, seems like a very strange story, but I did hear this story a few years ago. There was a crocodile going past through a river. And then there was a monkey that was stranded. So what the crocodile said to the monkey is, come on my back and I will take you on the other side. So the monkey then jumped on the crocodile's back and then started going through the water. And then what happened is halfway the crocodile then says, because I'm actually going to eat you, I'm going to take you to my wife and we're both going to eat your heart. And it was like, okay. So the monkey, this is a strange story. And then the monkey says, oh, you know, very nice you want to eat my heart, but I left it on the tree back on that island. Because you'll have to take me back. I was like, oh, okay. And took him back. And when he took him back, the monkey then jumped on the tree and stayed on the tree. And he got saved. So there is actually a moral there, or a lesson. The lesson was not to give your heart when you're associating with non-devotees. So yes, of course you may give your heart in the sense of for the sake of preaching, but when you are also in that association in an office, and it's one of those things that you just have to be there. It's not ideal, but you have to be there for your livelihood. But you don't have to necessarily give your heart and let someone else affect your heart. So I mentioned sincerity and purity is needed to know what to utilize for Krishna. But there is also another thing. You may have the sincerity, you may have the purity, but if you still haven't got the blessings of the Vaishnavas, you haven't got blessings of your authorities, you haven't got blessings of your mentors, you haven't got blessings of your spiritual master, then whatever you're trying right now may actually shortfall. It may fall short, have its shortfalls. Maybe initially it would seem very exciting, it seems very productive, but maybe after time it would actually start becoming dangerous for you and actually not becoming so substantial. Therefore, it is nice to not just independently do service and independently do your preaching programs and independently do your Krishna conscious, but take advice. And sometimes the advice can be not what you want to hear, but then it just takes a bit of cooperation and listening. And when one actually has many Siksha gurus, one will get more and more advice. And then sometimes it can be that some Siksha guru may say, no, maybe you should do this. And then someone else may say, well, maybe not. So this is where you can also then have your particular one authority, your one mentor, and also get it checked with your spiritual master, because that's what they're for. If you're not actually using the Vaishnavas in the sense of advice for your personal life, then you may miss out on the whole real meaning of association. So it takes that submissiveness, and it takes some honesty as well. Sometimes you have to be honest. Maybe you start a project, a Krishna conscious project, out of enthusiasm. And with blessings, you're told to then do that. Okay, you're good at it. You do it. But then after, it may not have a good effect. It may not be keeping you in good standing. So there it may need some honesty. This is where we become honest with ourselves, and like that. So the points I've just made so far, if I could just recap, is definitely we're in a mess because we're in this material world. We are covered by the modes of nature, and we can use these very modes of nature now to get ourselves out. And right now we are utilizing so many things for Krishna's service that ideally in the future we will then get rid of as our culture becomes more Vedic and we're in more control of what products we're actually using. There is also the point I made about it can be dangerous. There are certain aspects of Krishna consciousness that are certain material things that we shouldn't use. Or maybe others are using them. So we should also be broad-minded for others, maybe strict on ourselves, and like that. And then my other point was that we have some sincerity, purity, and get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. But the point is, for sure, every endeavor has a fault. Whatever you do, you'll be criticized no matter what. Either you'll get criticized by the non-devotees, or you'll be criticized by the devotees, or you'll be criticized by one side of the devotees, or the other devotees. You'll be criticized. But the point is, we have to fly our own plane. We have to do whatever it takes to get out of this mess that we're in. The mess that we're in is that we are entangled by the modes of nature. We are covered here by Krishna's lower energy of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And you may miss out this wonderful human opportunity. You may miss out on this opportunity of being associating with International Society of Krishna Consciousness. You may miss out on this opportunity. So we have to definitely do whatever it takes for us to get out. If that means using your nature, if that means rejecting parts of your nature, this is what it takes. Intelligence, sincerity, purity, blessings, do whatever it takes. But keep your eye on the goal. And the way we keep on the eye on the goal comes back down to the same simple process that we chant Hare Krishna sincerely, regularly. We hear the message of Bhagavatam. And we do what's right, do what's favorable for Krishna consciousness. Because if you have an eye on the goal, other things won't matter. Other things will just be hurdles. But if you lose your eye on the goal, you'll clash and life will be difficult. But it's very exciting that we're in this position also, because we're on a journey. It's all a big adventure. We still have, many of us have many years to, hopefully many years to come in Krishna consciousness. And it will be very interesting to find what will be your ultimate service, even in this actual, in this lifetime. Right now you might just be dibbling and dabbling with a few different types of services. My spiritual master explains to me that the services you're doing now are just preparing you for a bigger service. And as we find our sacred space and we experiment and try different services, the devotees will get more of an idea of what you are good at. You will get more of an idea of what you are good at, what your weaknesses are, what your strengths are, and what is actually inspiring for you, and what is actually having an effect in the movement, what is actually productive. from this short amount of time that you actually have. So it's actually very, very exciting. And be flexible. And if you're flexible and not so attached to just your own ideas, then you will actually able to progress more and more and able to do more for Krishna. And at the same time, do not be afraid to use your nature, whatever your nature is, for Krishna consciousness, because that's what it's about. It's about molding our life. Our life is like a piece of wood, and we carve Krishna out of that. And that is actually the perfection of life. And my last point, which I think is a very good point, is that the body is very... bodies aren't great in general. The skin does a good job to cover it all up, but bodies can be a bit smelly, give us pain and so much. They're a network to the senses are a network to leading to death. And the body's a lump of ignorance, but we can utilize this to chant the holy names and have ecstatic prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.